Right, we've all been there. You're with somebody important, right? It could be your boss, could be maybe your girl or boyfriend's dad, or someone you fancy. Somebody that you're kind of looking up as quite being on high, okay? And they say something that really is not funny. But because of who they are, because you see them as quite important, you laugh. Normally like this. Right, if you work, maybe in an office or whatever, I bet this happens to you quite a lot. The big boss comes in, cracks a really not funny at all joke, or tells a story that's not amusing in any way, so that's completely humour-free, and everyone goes, hey, you've done, haven't you, chappers?
Yep.
I know you have, because we caught you out yesterday. You were one of the many people we did catch out at Radio 1. Mm. We call this is my theory, career laughing. You laugh for the sake of your career. Everybody does it. You put your morals to one side, and you have a good old party laugh along with the unfunny important person. Now, yesterday here at Radio 1, a very important big boss came for a visit to meet everybody in the building and have a tour around. And me and the one that doesn't speak were the ones that showed him around, because we're important too.
Yeah.
Why would we ever be showing anybody around? But we were. And he met some of the people that work here. Just a bit of a management tour, you know, see what goes on in the beating heart of Radio 1. Only he wasn't a big boss at all. He was an actor that we hired to pretend to be a bloke that we made up called Mark Daltrey, who is a top BBC executive or not. And the idea is that this guy would meet people, have a bit of a chat, and say some really unfunny things in the conversation. But would they laugh? Would their career laugh just because he's a top BBC boss and they're thinking about their career? Now, we did come to see you, chappers, with our actor.
Yeah.
What was the boss like?
Well, I thought he was very convincing because he was incredibly rude and arrogant, and I had to be introduced to him twice because he forgot who I was the first time, which therefore meant I was sure he was high up in management.
He was
not
convincing.
Here, obviously.
He was convincing.
He was incredibly convincing.
Right.
I just felt very, very, very uncomfortable.
Now, you will have to excuse the quality on some of these clips, because me and the one that doesn't speak were doing secret recording from our lapels using a cassette player from 1975. So it's a little bit hissy, but this is what happened when the big BBC boss that wasn't one met chappers.
You're preparing for tonight, are you?
For the sport and the sport. Yeah.
Your sport,
yeah.
Right, okay. I don't know, that's not really my field of expertise. But how many footballers does it take to change a light bulb? Okay, I've forgotten it. You're the you must know that. Well, come on.
Now, you laughed, and he couldn't even remember the punchline to the joke.
Well,
you still found it hilarious.
Well, he was struggling. I just kind of wanted to put him at ease.
What we told him to do was do all those really rubbish light bulb jokes.
Yeah.
So he did, how many footballers does it take to change a light bulb? And then you went,
how many footballers does it take to change a light bulb? Okay, I've forgotten it. You're the...
forgetting
it. Was that career laughing, or were you laughing at him?
Well, it was a bit of both, really. It was like, well, it wasn't career laughing, but I was laughing in an uncomfortable way.
Filling the silence.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, you'll notice everyone we spoke to, he did manage to fit in this light bulb joke. What do you think Joe Wiley did? Important boss comes round, tells a bad joke, quite convincing bloke.
She was, she's too cool, she won't have laughed.
Yeah, but it's a big boss, she thinks.
Yeah, no, she won't laugh.
I want you to listen, first of all, how our actor really got into the role as a top BBC boss. He'd been researching it on the internet. Listen to all the buzzwords he uses. Listen.
I suppose we really like to think of this as the kind of cold face, in a way, for the... You're getting the kind of demographic that we're really going for.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. He did use the word...
But he was...
Cold face.
He was very convincing.
I like
that.
To think you're at the cold face of Radio 1, you know, and you're meeting our demographic perfectly. She didn't have a clue, neither did he. But would Joe laugh at his rubbish joke?
What's the, reminds me of a joke. How many producers does it take to change it? How many producers does it take to change a light bulb? None, they like to keep the DJs in the dark.
She laughed. That wasn't a nice laugh, though, was it? That was a you idiot laugh.
Yeah, it was a kind of, you know,
how many producers does it take to change a light bulb? Next, it's Radio 1's Hugh Stevens, who, when he found out afterwards that he was an actor, was hilariously mad at us. Now, if you've not heard Hugh's show, it was on last night, actually. Really good. Loads of brand new music, unsigned bands. Listen to how our actor boss talks to Hugh and then does a kind of stereotyping Welsh joke when he realises that Hugh is Welsh. But will Hugh laugh because he thinks this man is important?
Sorry, we haven't been introduced. What's your name?
Hugh, my name is, yeah.
Hugh.
How's it going? Yeah.
Oh, Welsh.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. A bit of a giveaway. I could tell. So how many, there's a joke you can use. How many coal miners does it take to change a light bulb? One, and the rest to organise a secondary picket. Do you know that one? It's a bit old. I know, I was told that one time.
It's good, but it's fine.
No, but the... well, sorry...
Oh, God. Mm. Oh, he's Welsh. Let's do a coal miner joke. Brilliant. But once again, the laugh was...
One and the rest to organise a secondary picket. Do you know that one?
It was a kind of...
do you know?
Like Joe. Yeah.
Scott Mills. Scott Mills.
Radio 1.
So we're talking about career laughing. Some people call it a gaffer laugh or a broker laugh. Depends what kind of profession you're in, really. It's people, we all do it, who laugh at the big boss when they come to visit, when they are spectacularly unfunny because they're a boss and you're thinking, well, my career, yeah. You go. Also, if you put the career laughs of Hugh Stevens and Joe Wiley off of Radio 1 together, they are the new Beavis and Butthead. Listen. Beavis. Right, next is Joe Harland. Now, you at home won't know him, but he's what we call an executive producer here at Radio 1. So he's quite important himself. Will he laugh at the big BBC boss joke? Now, this time... Notice our actor throws in the fact that the Director General of the BBC has told him this joke. No pressure to laugh then at all then for Joe. Here we go.
How many executive producers it take to change a light bulb? Mark Thompson told me this one actually. How many executive? None, because they like to keep the DJs in the dark.
There you go.
Yeah,
how many executive? None, because they like to keep the DJs in the dark.
There you go.
What about our boss, Rob? Would he laugh?
Oh, God.
Would he laugh?
Yeah, he'll laugh.
How many executive producers it take to change a light bulb? None, because... they like to keep the DJs in the dark. I think I'm in the wrong business.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you very much. Good luck. I'm not going to take any more of your time, man.
That was a definite laugh there.
There were two laughs there.
Yeah. And what about Georgina Bowman off the news?
No, because she's a right mardy thing.
So she won't laugh?
No.
How many newsreaders it take to change a light bulb? This is one for your show. How many newsreaders take to change a light bulb, Scott? You probably heard this.
I haven't actually. I'm waiting to find out.
That's not a laugh, is it?
How many newsreaders take to change a light bulb, Scott? You probably heard this.
I haven't actually. I'm waiting to find out.
Hmm. One, but all the others... We'll broadcast it, talk about it. Sorry, I can't. Anyway, sorry, I'm not a comedian.
That's okay.
Do you know the answer to that?
Oh, God, how embarrassing.
No.
This is awful doing this. I had to stand right next to him as well. Everyone's like, why is Scott so close to the big boss of the BBC? Because I'm recording you with a microphone on my lapel.
I knew that she wouldn't, though.
He went, sorry, I'm not a comedian. She went, that's okay. Love, George. I was surprised more people didn't go, ah-ha! Because he was quite a big boss. Well, so they thought. They obviously don't have much respect for management here, do they?
They don't brown nose here.
No. Anyway, back to Beavis and Butthead. Ha